Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
We get the news about wars and Ukraine all the time, but you know what? I'm looking at something today that really makes me feel what's going on in that war. Joseph Lindsley posted a video from the lovely river city of Dnipro, and the bombs are going off. This is video from the inside of a moving vehicle, and it's just something that, you know, you put yourself in that spot, and this is more powerful than all the news reports of bombings put together. And we'll post this at WGNradio.com. Joe, this is really terrifying to see, isn't it?
Yeah, Bob, it really is. I mean, you think, you know, we're so used to seeing scenes like that in American movies, blockbuster summer films. But here it is. It's real. And one of the elements that shows you how real it is, and I think what makes it so powerful. So the people in the car, you can hear their radios on, or they're playing music. Because, when the bombs go off, you don't stop to turn the music off. You're only thinking about driving on. And, as they're driving, you can see, it seems like the car is swerving around. There's a little bit of chaos. You see one bomb has already gone off. One missile has already hit. And then there's the camera quickly turns, the phone camera turns to the rear view, and you see that first explosion, and you see another missile that had just hit, with the flames and a huge cloud. And then you hear perhaps on the side, yet another missile going off, another missile landing there in Dnipro. And you can see that the camera's going up and down, and the passengers are getting tossed aside with a little bit of the reverberation of that impact. And you still hear that the sort of the pop music playing on the radio as they're driving through this absolute madness. And the whole time they're swearing. I mean, probably very confused. And, you don't know if you're driving even in the right direction to get away from it. And that was on, a beautiful summer day. It probably been a very lovely day up until those missiles arrived just about 9 o'clock this morning. And so when you see that, you see just how real this is. And I think when a lot of people think of war, you think of, just the battlefield, or you think of, a country that looks, terrible. Mm-hmm. And you see this nice, lovely city under fire. It really helps you understand what it's like here.
Yeah, it's the juxtaposition of the greenery, the trees, and then the normalcy of businesses along the road and signs, and then these black clouds from the bombs falling everywhere. I would encourage everybody to look at it. We'll post it at WGNradio.com. Did you hear anything more, Joseph, about that alleged plot to trigger a riot in Kyiv?
Yeah, it was interesting. So I talked with right after we finished our broadcast yesterday, I didn't know anything about it, and I spoke. But yet it was a big story. It was on CNN and other places, and I spoke with Ukrainians, and no one seemed to know what was going on, and everyone had to look it up. And so what that showed me is, the sense of it here is that, well, Russians are always trying to do these things, so it's not so uncommon. But for some reason, Ukraine's SBU, sort of their, security service, put out a press release about it, and it became a big headline. But it was a few pro-Russian or Russian saboteurs that were captured in Kyiv, and they were trying to. It was Constitution Day, which it wasn't even a big. It's not even really a big holiday, especially in the wartime. And that they were going to try to storm the Ukrainian parliament. But if you think about it, Kyiv was, we think of how well protected Kyiv was by the citizens in 2022. I don't think anyone's going to tolerate. People have their complaints about politicians, but I don't think there's any tolerance for storming parliament in this time. And so it was weird. Or maybe not weird, but here it was not even a story. People had to look it up to know that it even happened. Because it's to be expected that the Russians are doing this. And within the same 24 hours, this is a bit bigger news that the Ukrainian security services found in Odessa Russian undercover FSB, like the new FSB is the new KGB in Russia, and they found Russian FSB agents who were in Odessa City there by the sea, working to help direct Russian missiles to spy and figure out where Ukrainian air defense is in Odessa. And so there was a roundup also yesterday in Odessa, not only in Kyiv, but also Odessa. But, I think in some ways, a lot of these things become routine and normal. Even that Dnipro strike, and then, Kharkiv also was hit last night. And, I've been in Lviv lately for, I think, about a month and a half. This is one of the longest times I've gone without hearing a missile strike. There was thunder the other day, and I realized, I have not heard a missile explosion in a while, and that's a weird feeling. And last night, I saw on the Telegram app, I have alerts for Kharkiv City, and I saw that terrifying word, Raketa, which is what whoever's typing the alerts, when you see that word, if you're in Kharkiv, it means you got like 2 seconds to like get in the hallway or, find some kind of like a temporary shelter because there's a rocket incoming. And when I saw that here now in the safety of Lviv, it gave me a chill. I forgot, just how intense life is there in Kharkiv every single day.
Joe, as you know, the Hungarian Prime Minister Orban met with President Zelensky yesterday. Orban is very friendly with Moscow, and you have got to see this. I hope you can see the picture on the first page, on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, where President Zelensky is standing next to Orban with one hand outstretched to shake hands, and Orban, both arms at his sides, just looking at President Zelensky's hand as if to say, what? You want me to shake your hand? It's an unbelievable picture. Did you see it?
And you can see the body language of Orban, but you also see how Zelensky, even though Orban has been really nasty to Ukraine, and it's a neighboring country, Hungary, but this is the first time he's visited, and President Zelensky is willing to give him a shot to let him change. But Orban is insistent. And I think if you look at the statement that the Prime Minister Orban put out, he seemed to be in Kyiv as an emissary of Moscow. And it seems that as there are rumors, and by the way, the rumors of F-16s, we've been through this before. So I don't put too much stock in it, but there are rumors that maybe they could already even be here. Whenever Ukraine has these moments of strength, Moscow, throws out that word negotiation. And Orban, his focus of his trip to Kyiv to meet with President Zelensky was, let's give peace a chance and let's agree to, cease hostilities and then have some talks. And that was his clear. I mean, that was the statement that he made. And for Ukrainians, they know that anytime there is such a pause, all you're doing is giving Russia time to come up with new plans to resupply itself, maybe to get North Korean troops, as they've discussed. And as an example of that, tomorrow being July 4th, American Independence Day, 2 years ago from tomorrow in 2022, Ukrainians liberated that Snake Island in the Black Sea. And I think people might remember that was the island where the very first day of the big invasion, February 24th, 2022, the Russian warship Moskva passed by it and demanded that the small garrison of Ukrainian soldiers surrender. And Ukrainians, I can't repeat it on the radio, but they famously yelled, Russian warship, go beep yourself. and that became a rallying cry. Those soldiers were taken prisoner. But by April, a couple months later, Ukrainians used one of their Neptune missiles to destroy that Russian warship. And then on July 4th, 2022, so just a few months later, Ukrainians retook Snake Island. And this was a huge success. And I didn't realize it until yesterday, but then it was a few weeks after Ukraine took Snake Island back. And Snake Island prevented the Russians from totally blockading Odessa, that Russia, with Turkey and the United Nations, pushed for Ukraine to have a negotiated deal to export grain to the Black Sea. And back then, it seemed like a great act of mercy. But if you look at it now, you see that they pushed for that deal when Ukraine was destroying Russia's best assets in the Black Sea. And then that deal it lasted for a year until July of 2023, and Ukraine was not allowed to attack. in the Black Sea, but they were allowed to export a small amount of grain. But now, since that deal has expired, it's still less than a year, Ukrainians have exported more grain by fighting back in the Black Sea than they did when they had that deal. And so this goes back to that Snake Island. And as I learned, Snake Island, which was liberated 2 years ago from tomorrow, July 4th, in ancient Greek mythology, Achilles, that was where his after he was killed in the Battle of Troy, when his heel was struck, his mother took him to Snake Island, his body to Snake Island. And the ancient Greeks actually had a real temple there to Achilles. So you have all this ancient history of old heroes, but also new heroes of the Ukrainians, July 4th, 2 years ago.
Interesting. Well, I'll tell you, this Wall Street Journal front page picture is definitely worth a thousand words, with President Zelensky looking right at Orban's eyes, trying to make eye contact, and Orban's just looking askance, looking down at the hand that's being offered. Listen, we pray on this holiday week, Joseph, that someday people of Ukraine will have their freedom and independence. And I will catch up with you on Monday.
And happy 4th of July to you, Bob, and to everyone listening.
Thank you very much. Be well.